Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. And I like to talk to, every week, I like to talk to a paradigm shifter. What is a paradigm shifter? Someone who's consciously participating in the shifting consciousness of our planet and of our mass consciousness. And today we have Justice Bartlett. And Justice is herself quite an amazing magician, healer, and is working with Matrix Energetics, which was created and birthed by her dad, Richard Bartlett. But in your own right, you're quite a little healer, so welcome to the show, Justice.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm really glad you're there. Now, your website is just is, I thought it was justice.insight, but it's actually now Sophia Insight?
No, it's Justice Insight. No,
okay,
dot. Justice Insight.
Oh, okay. Justice Insight. And I couldn't find it earlier, so I don't know what the deal is. But in any case, for people listening, one of the things I'm very excited about with Justice is that you have devised a way of working with children and consciousness. And I'd like you to talk to people about that. And you're even having a workshop this coming weekend. But this isn't just an infomercial. This is to talk about children and consciousness, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, tell us what got you going. Where did you? How did you get started with Matrix Energetics or with healing? And what happened to bring you to focus with the children? And how are the results of that?
Well, it's kind of it's sort of a long story. If I start from the very beginning, I was raised in a religious community, and it was a very different upbringing than your general public school environment and mixing and melding with the neighbors. I mean, we had neighbors that everybody was very, very conscious of their spirituality because it was a spiritual community, and I was exposed to a lot of different things that I don't think I would have had the opportunity to ever have been exposed to if I had grown up somewhere else. So I kind of took all
of that. You think that's a good thing?
I think it was a really good thing. I didn't think it was a good thing at the time because I was a kid and I was in my rebellious phase, and I sort of took that to the limits for a number of years, just going off and living in the absolute opposite direction, apparent opposite direction. And at the end of a course that took me through some really interesting adventures that that definitely opened my mind as to I don't know, a different perspective on the way that the people integrate with life, I came back around to my dad and to my parents, and actually moved to Seattle and needed some very intense personal healing for myself, and I began working with my dad, him working on me, and working with his partner, Dr. Mark Dunn at the time, and just doing everything in my power to get myself back to my center is the way I would have to describe it.
Did you go off to do the drug thing?
I did, yes.
Okay, so that's important, not to judge you, but to make that turn is a very interesting thing for a lot of people to hear about, because you're not the only young person that's gone into that route, you know?
No,
it's often very strong spiritual beings who do that as well. Isn't that interesting?
I think it is. One of the things that I remember being told in the community I grew up in was that our community, we were the light bearers. We were the light bearers, and that when we went out into the world was going to try to suck our light and was going to try to lure us in with drugs and rock and roll and sex and all of this stuff that was really given this bad connotation. So being the obstinate-minded person I was, I went out and I dove headfirst into all of those experiences. And what I realized, I think I was looking for now, what I realized is that I wanted to prove to myself and to the rest of the world that it's not just people who believe their spirituality to be superior that are light bearers. It is a God-given right each and every one of us bear.
Wow, good for you.
That was one of the things that really surfaced in the self-education process I went through hanging out with these supposedly bad people. Were they people just like you?
Were they also, coming from spiritual backgrounds, or was it just a whole cross-section?
It was a really big cross-section, and some of them had very interesting spiritual ideas, but I wouldn't say that they were coming from spiritual backgrounds.
Okay.
I'd say they were coming from trailer parks, a lot of them.
Oh, really?
And split families and split homes and just sort of a general bouncing around in society and not feeling like they had anywhere or anything to belong to. And we all kind of gravitated towards each other, and we formed our own little community.
Hmm.
And I think that's what everybody is looking for, and I feel like what I did is I sort of took it to the absolute, the ultimate limit, having this feeling of not really fitting in anywhere, and then looking for people who felt the same way, and then forming a group around them. And I see the same thing happening with the people that come to the Matrix seminars, is a lot of people who don't feel like they've belonged anywhere before, and who feel like they have these ideas about life and about reality, and that they're not very well accepted by the mainstream consciousness. And so without having the tools to figure out how to integrate that in a personal way, they go on these searches. And
well, that makes sense to me. I think I've done my own version of that a number of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you would probably agree, having done the searches and knowing that every step leads you closer and closer to where you want to be, is that the real answers are inside of you.
Right. When you came back to your family, were you ill or anything, or just emotionally all tangled up?
I was a pretty big emotional wreck. Physically, my body was not at its prime functioning. I did some pretty hard substances that kind of wreaked havoc on my physical being as well as my emotions. It's like, I don't like to call addiction a disease, but I don't really like to call disease either. But it's very much it's a condition that affects all aspects of your being and personality. And in order to shift out of it, there are shifts that need to happen within all of those aspects that happen congruently. Otherwise, it feels like you're just kind of doing steps sort of because somebody says so. It was really about a search for what feels right for me now.
Wow. So it's a real empowerment thing. I'm sort of interested in you used Matrix as a way to get yourself back.
Yes.
To iron out some of the stuff that went on and unbalanced you and so on.
Very much so. What I see and what I feel about Matrix is that it's a really phenomenal, the word technique doesn't really do it justice. It's more of a consciousness, and we actually call it a consciousness technology. So that you...
Oh, well, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A technique kind of indicates that there's this step that you do, and then there's this step that you do, and then there's this step that you do. And when you do all of these steps in the right way, then you wind up with this result that's desired at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, right? I mean, that's kind of sums it up.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. Mm-hmm. Get your little manual.
Right, you get your little manual.
So what would you say is different about Matrix? And what if you can explain it? It's pretty hard to explain, isn't it?
It is. I can kind of turn it on, and you can start to feel it.
That would be great. You did that for me yesterday, and it felt tremendous.
So we'll just kind of open the space for it.
We're going to have everybody at home. We're just going to do some, we're going to experience some Matrix. So that's be still and be receptive. That's nice.
There we go. Let's kind of open that space up and sort of dance through that as we talk.
That's wonderful.
It's really more about a state than any kind of doing. It's about stepping into the space where, regardless of what you do, transformation will occur because it is your birthright and it is who you are. You are a constantly transforming, infinitely power, infinitely wise, infinitely compassionate being. And the reason I would call it a really phenomenal cleanup technique is that I think inherently we are all absolutely 100% perfect, and that we choose to step into experiences when we decide to be embodied, but those experiences are just experiences. And as we live more and more and more into the expectations of all of these delineations, you've got the idea about being physical first and foremost. This big lie that you are a physical machine, right?
Right.
You're classified.
A legendary being.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have the classification of human and man or woman or child, mother. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. And the more we believe ourselves to be these roles that we're playing, the easier it is to get caught up in the role and forget who we are at the center of our being. And in science terms, they'd call that zero point, where everything is basically just potential. I think I would liken it to the state of nirvana, the supreme sublime nothingness. And again, that leads back into the notion of zero point. It's sort of a neutral, it's sort of a unified field, it's the all-encompassing essence of divine, universal intelligence, however you choose to call it. And I think that at the center of our being, that's what we really are. And when we can learn to begin to visit that at first, and this is one of the ways that Matrix is phenomenal for this, because when you step into that state, you are visiting that space. You're visiting that zero point.
So can you teach children to, I mean, children are close to it in a way. Although this energy is very lovely, I have to say.
Children, I think, really are our teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And what it felt like the last class that I did was more than me teaching them, was creating an arena for them to express who they already are. And you give them a couple ideas about maybe this could be like this, maybe you could step into change like this, maybe you could use this sort of this space to communicate with from. You sort of open up these ideas and these possibilities, and children just dive headfirst into them, and then they start coming up with their own ideas of how to use it.
Do they, let's see. I asked you once before, somebody had said to me, I don't want my son to go, he's only 4, and he might be weird then to the other kids because he'll be too powerful.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've had that question asked a bunch of times. And so what I think about that is that it's not about accessing a power over anything. It's about being able to access your source more readily and more comfortably. And when we're creating from that space, I think that the flow of that space is more natural. It is more about being able to command from the heart rather than control the external situations. And command from the heart just really means that I am so centered and seated within myself and my awareness of who I am that these external situations, they can't touch that essence. And I think what happens when people begin to create from that space, because there are, I think there's really two energies that we have to work with in our life. We have the energy that goes out away from us, and we have the energy that we draw back towards us. And I think we spend more time focusing on the energy that we're sending away from us than the energy that's coming towards us. And we forget that as well as being magnificent creators, we're also these magnificent attractors. And when you're coming from this centered space, the natural course of attraction is to attract the same vibration of that which you're projecting out.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than these children being more powerful than their students and their classmates, it's more of them seeing this reflection of something that's appealing to them, that they're attracted to, and maybe they don't know why, but there is that attraction there.
And they know it empowers them or makes them feel good or something.
Right. Hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, it's very exciting. So how did your dad learn this? I can feel it. It's so powerful, Justice.
Ah, it feels good, doesn't it?
It is wonderful. Yeah, I want to live in that.
That's kind of where it becomes, where it comes to. It just sort of came to him like a gift.
Hmm.
He had a client that was a little girl that he really wanted to help. And he saw one way that he could help her, and that way was through this intraoral cranial technique where you put your finger in a child's mouth to open up the cranial bones and then change the way that the bones are lined, and
mm-hmm.
it can change their vision, and that was what her problem was. She had a walleye, and he looked at her and he thought to himself, I could do that and that would work, but you're going to bite me. Because he'd had the experience with my little brother before, and he had chomped down on his thumb, and he'd nearly lost his thumb. So he took him with his little girl, and he said to himself, she's going to bite me. So he asked the question, and this is what most of us don't do when we're faced with a situation we don't feel like is going to work for us. If there was something that would work, what would that be? And he turned his eyes and he saw this holographic image of Superman.
Hmm.
And this full 3D hallucination looked at the little girl with his laser eyes. And it went into the little girl's brain and it freed up a blockage there that was creating the problem with her eye. And she turned and she looked at my dad and she blinked and she goes, Dr. Brightlip, there are two of you. And this was her brain adjusting to be able to see, because her proprioception had never lined up in that way before.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, she's got both eyes lining up on this plane, and she's seeing with both eyes for the first time.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of Matrix.
Wow. So the asking of that question is the crucial thing, and then getting the, sometimes preposterous answer, too, hey?
Absolutely, and allowing for what might appear to be a preposterous answer to be profound in its ridiculousness.
Hmm. So take us to a child, like your daughter or somebody that's been in a workshop who's just learning this. So say a person who's 6 or 8 or 9 or something or 10.
Mm-hmm.
How do they handle it?
They loved it. It was like a big game for them, and they weren't, the fun thing about working with children as opposed to adults is kids mm-hmm. are there to be in the field and to play, and so many times adults get engaged in these healing ideas in order to fix their problems, right? I'm going to go to this seminar to heal this problem in my life, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or some aspect of their experience. And kids are there because they just are, and they know they just are. So when they start interacting with each other, it's in the full-on spirit of play. And when they go to play with somebody who's asking for a healing, they're not thinking about, well, if I need to heal this because this is what this woman wants. They're just there because they feel drawn to be there.
Mm.
And in that attraction of wanting to be there in that moment, because that's the way they've lined themselves up, then they're free to do whatever shows up for them. And
you teach them to ask the question?
Right, absolutely. We teach them to ask questions. Start off kind of showing them about heart space and showing them what it feels like to be there and sort of be still. And then we go into playing with the techniques and playing with two pointing, which is the most basic technique in matrix energetics. And it's described pretty well in my dad's first book. And then we go on to some of the other games. There's some ideas about time travel, being able to dial in a time in your consciousness and send energy into that time to either change events in the past or to shape events in the future. And that's one of the reasons I love working with kids so much, is they're not so interested in fixing their past, they're really interested in shaping their futures.
Isn't that exciting?
It's brilliant, and it's what's going to save the planet.
I'm on your side. I believe there's so much from kids that is going to make a difference. What about in, like, a broken bone healing? Have you ever seen kids do any of that?
I have not witnessed any kids heal a broken bone. I have witnessed a very deep, profound emotional healing between a family of participants at the
mm-hmm.
first Matrix for Kids. And we were playing, what game were we playing? I think we were playing a game with role reversal where the parents become the children and the children become the parents. And it's kind of take a walk in each other's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems very silly because you get the kids start yelling at the parents, eat your vegetables and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, it's quite profound. It's like, well, you see, the reason that this happens in this way is because you always yell at me when you're trying to ask me to do something. And like all of a sudden, like these great truths are coming out from this little game.
Mm.
And while they were playing, one of the little girls, like I think she was 5, wound up two-pointing the family members, and the father wound up in tears and releasing some things about his past, and a sort of a confrontation between him and not the youngest one, but the middle one, and but this very profound peace that sort of settled over them, and they were all in tears when they came up to share this experience that they felt had completely transformed them, all facilitated by this little 5-year-old dolphin girl.
And it's sort of like it breaks that wiring or that fabric that runs between family members, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great tool for me raising my daughter, I know. I think one of the things that we tend to do is we run these patterns. And rather than taking time to step out of the pattern and sort of get back to our center to see what other options we might have available, we tend to just
mm-hmm.
react all the time. And I don't find that to be very beneficial when I'm trying to when we're trying to work out a new way or a solution or even have a conversation. So it creates space to step out of reaction mode and sort of each of us come back to our center and say, okay, how can we work to communicate this in a way that allows for the situation to unfold in a way that we are both congruent with?
Can she understand that?
She does understand that. I might not use exactly those words for her,
mm-hmm.
but how can we do this in a way that we're both happy? Right?
Mm-hmm.
What can we, how can I give and how can you give and where can we find a nice meeting space based on looking at what options we have available to us rather than immediately saying, no, this is the way I want it to be, or her saying, well, this is what I need to have from you is I want you know, I want to stay up until forever, and I want to do this, and I want to do this. And I was like, well, this is real life. This is also magic land, but in real magic land, this is what I need from you so that you can continue to have these magical opportunities. And kind of opened the way for a lot of joint decision making.
Well, so do you, I want to, you know, I know it's in your dad's book, but when you talk about two-pointing, can you tell people at home a little bit about what that is? Because I'm just wondering if your daughter two-points you or a situation that might be kind of a difficult argument or something, does she do that with you, or do you do that with her, or what does that work like?
We do. What does that look like, a situation?
Go ahead.
For beginning people, the simplest way to think of a two-point is accessing the state of matrix energetics. It's like having your own little two-prong plug that zips into the grid, and then this grid contains all the information that you could possibly need. So you've got all of your solutions there and all your different possibilities there. And when we take ourselves out of the awareness of what we're noticing in one moment and we kind of focus into that grid and open up space, then we have access to more options. We have more possibilities to open to us. So a simple way of doing a two-point would be just to find somewhere. And it can be on your body, it can be on a table, it can be on a chair, it can be in the air. But in order to facilitate a change, you kind of have to have a starting point. So that would be your first point, the first point that you would notice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would have a second point, because it's sort of...
And my understanding is if you run your finger into the air, it will stick somewhere, right?
Yes, yes,
and
absolutely.
That's your first point.
And that'll be your first point, wherever feels, whatever you stick to. And then your second point would be wherever you feel your attention's drawn. And then you just kind of, it's like you drop a pebble down inside of yourself. And then you feel the ripples expand out.
Okay.
And that's what we call collapsing the wave. So it's taking something from a very defined state and sort of opening it up into a mirror of possibilities.
Okay.
And then when it comes back in, you kind of check where you are, you see what you notice, you check in yourself to feel, well, what feels different? What might I notice differently? And you begin to ask yourself these kinds of questions as a habit. If I were noticing something different, what would I be noticing now?
So the point of two-point is that it makes a huge change in the situation between you and someone else or just yourself?
Well, it's just accessing the state of all possibility.
Okay.
And it's not necessary to two-point to do that, but we've found that it's a really easy way to sort of get your mind engaged with accessing the state and thinking that you're playing a game. Basically, you're playing a game to get your little left brain out of the way and to make it happy so it thinks it's doing something. So it's like, oh, I've got this great technique. It's called a two-point. I touch here and I touch here. And then that's all I do. And then I kind of sit there.
And it's right in the manual.
And it's right in the manual, right?
Yeah.
And then I kind of go, okay, well, what's going on? And then the left brain sort of goes, well, I don't know. This is stupid. Nothing's happening. Well, maybe nothing's happening. Okay, well, and then it sort of floats out of the picture. And as the left brain floats out of the picture, then the heart kind of opens and floats out. And
I can really feel it, actually.
And that's that expanded state. And I think that's close to our true natural being as we can get right now, being in physical
mm-hmm.
form. So being able to share with everybody, I mean, absolutely everybody, it's just such a gift to be able to do this work and bring it to the world. But giving it to children and showing them that they have this inside of them at such a young age, I think will create a different foundation for the way that they do things for the rest of their life. And
I guess you haven't had enough time to really watch that, have you?
Not to calibrate it so much yet. I can notice the changes in my daughter. I can notice the changes in myself. I can notice the changes in the participants as they go throughout the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We were starting to get, before I started doing the kids program, we were starting to get kids that were just showing up for the Matrix seminar. And
oh, great.
Yeah, really good. Little 11-year-olds that would sit there and that would just soak the entire thing in. And I kind of started thinking to myself, well, and here's the truth as well, is everybody always asks me, what was it like to grow up with your dad? It must have been so amazing. It must have been so wonderful and so exciting. He's so crazy, and your whole family is so magical. And I have to honestly tell them that it wasn't like the way it is now as we were growing up.
Mm.
He was brilliant, and he had all these wonderful techniques, and he was a phenomenal doctor, and he was a healer, and he could do all of this stuff, but we didn't necessarily understand it because it wasn't brought down to a level of play.
Mm.
And so now what Matrix does is it really engages your entire being in playing. It's not a serious technique. It's it can get pretty ridiculous at times. But
well, that's good.
Yeah. And the ridiculousness, though, is this huge letting go. Letting go of the need to be serious about your problems, be serious about your life. And when you step into that space of, I've let all of that go, then again, there's that expanded possibility state. There's the fun. There's the play. And I started looking at how it's changed our family because we all work together. I teach with him, and my brother travels with us all the time, and he's the sound man, and he's beginning to teach with us as well.
He's younger,
my daughter,
is he?
He is younger. He's about 2 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my daughter and the way that she reaches with and connects with people from a place of absolute innocence is what it is what children have. They still have that innocence. And the longer you can keep that innocence, the more connected you are to your sense of source. And I think that pretty much sums it up right there. It's a way for children to stay in their innocence and for parents to have tools of how they can support them in that state as they both continue to grow as a family.
Well, it must affect their learning capacity really well, does it?
I think it probably does.
Yeah, I mean in the 3 R's and stuff, I'm going, it probably releases them to making learning easier.
Yeah, I think it does. Again, I'm going to have to do some study and let you know what comes out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's interesting because it just started. I mean, it's a couple of years. When did you do your first children's Matrix?
June.
Wow. So you're right at the beginning. This is so exciting.
Yeah. And
I just feel like it's so right.
Oh, thank you.
What about when you were talking about some of the techniques are like time, what is it, time travel, parallel universes?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, so if you get back to a very scientific model, the model mm-hmm. of quantum physics and the photon, is scientists are saying now that the photon is not really a defined particle. It has more of a probability orbit. And so it has the ability to to move forwards and backwards in time. And at the most fundamental level, this is what all things are comprised of, is these little teeny tiny particles, light particles that are only there when you look at them and can be somewhere else when you're not looking and then can pop back in again when you go to look again. And if that's what you're made of, and if your consciousness and your focus is what dials in your experience, then you can just as easily travel forwards and backwards in time and have physical changes in current time and space show up from sending your consciousness to an address in the past and shifting the way that experience had showed up previously, and then your consciousness moves forward again to a place in your current awareness that experience never occurred in that way. And then tracking into the future, which is my favorite thing to do, is you're kind of just lining up reality possibilities on a timeline. You sort of go into that expanded state, you sort of send a point out into the future, and then you sort of think about maybe something that you'd like to have happen out there. You kind of put that down in your timeline, and then those become your two points: where I am, what I'm noticing right now, to this potential event in the future. And it's more about a feeling state for that event than it is about an event happening in a specific way that your mind says that it needs to. Because all the mind does is judge and measure. It's the only thing it's capable of doing.
Thank you.
But when you measure from your heart into this expanded state of awareness, into this possibility of what your future could hold, and then you collapse that reality back in your present moment by dropping that pebble, and you stand back and sort of let the waves ripple out, then you're constantly measuring from a state of wonder and excitement and just open possibility. And then that's when the universe gets excited, because you're saying, I'm happy and I'm fulfilled, so why don't you just come in and just fill in the blanks for me, because I trust you and I think you're going to do a great job. And then you ask your mind to measure, well, now that we're interested in having your opinion again, what do you think about what's happening? And your mind says, oh, well, you know, I think you're not doing such a bad job after all.
Do you have any exciting stories about stuff you manifested in such a way?
Oh, boy, yeah. Oh, man.
Your whole life. I mean, your whole life for starters. But
at this point, yeah, everything I do is sort of from that. So what's going to happen next? I'm so excited. What's it going to be? Just a couple quick ones. I was planning on taking my daughter and my mother to Hawaii a couple of years ago. And it's not a cheap trip. And I wanted to do it all expense paid for my mom. So I wanted to give her something.
Oh, wonderful. What a gift.
Yeah, that seemed nice. It was really just about the airfare because we had somewhere to stay, but I still didn't know how I was going to do it. So I got into that space, sort of dropped down on myself, found that state, and then I put myself forward to around Christmas, which was when I wanted to bring her, and I saw us on the beach, and I felt us on the beach, and there we were. It was there. It was, boom, reality. All of a sudden, it was right there. And then I just let that go, and I sort of dropped the pebble into myself, and I sort of sat back, and I said, well, let's see what happens. And the way that particular event manifested itself was amazing. I had people give me checks for more than their sessions were. Just all these things that just lined up perfectly, and I was told by my little matrix voice, you need to go online and check for tickets right now. So I sat down and I went to the computer and I looked for tickets, because you get these little impulses, and the more we sort of put them aside, the quieter they get. the more that you pay attention to them and explore them, the louder that they will get. So I've really learned to sort of trust and explore these impulses. So I sat down, and there's these unbelievably cheap tickets. So I get the tickets, and that was it. We were in Hawaii.
What a wonderful story. That's a wonderful story.
Thank you.
Tell me about clearing. You know, we talked about how it's a cleaning process. So do you think for manifesting, I mean, do you teach that clearing is really important, or clearing the path so that you can go forward, or is it linear like that?
Not really. And when I talk about clearing, as far as cleaning up our issues and our fixing our things, is I think that, so the only thing that we have that's really us is this light. And if you want to find it in your heart or wherever it shows up for you, heart space is me. That's where I feel the most connected to source. So if this is you, then everything that's around you is just an illusion. And it's all a bunch of programs. So we tend to step into these programs and we run these programs as if they were us. And it's not a good thing and it's not a bad thing. It just is. It's kind of what we're here to do, is sort of step in and out of these programs and really fully experience the program as our reality, and then decide, hopefully, okay, this isn't going to work for me anymore. I'm going to move this program aside, and I'm going to step into this kind of space over here, and I'm going to see what else is available. We forget that we're running programs. We think that our programs are us, and then we forget that we can move them. So I think what Matrix can do is it can kind of free us up from some of those programs that aren't working for us so well. And at the same time, it works wonderfully in the realms of manifestation, because if you're wanting to step into something that you're going to manifest, there really isn't anything for us to create. Everything that we could possibly need has already been done for us. It's all out in the field. And in order to step into what we want to, where we want to be and what we want to have, it's more a matter of sort of setting that intention and then allowing for it to show up for us.
But you mean it's like having a picture of what you want or something is required too, right?
No, not really. I think going with feeling states is a more solid way of acquiring what you want than pictures. Because pictures are, again, I mean, I have nothing against visualization when it gets the job done, but I see a lot of people who are visualizing what they want and not getting it. And I think the difference between the way that I do things through the Matrix, through the way Matrix moves through me, and the way that a lot of people are trying to visualize and attract what they want is, When you're wanting something, you can't help but track the space of where it has not yet shown up yet. So, say I'm living in a trailer, and I want to move into a $500,000 home.
Right.
I'm very aware that I'm still living in a trailer. I can have a treasure map of it. I can visualize it every day. I can deliver whatever little technique is out there that I'm going to apply to this illusion of me wanting this home. But every time I come home to my trailer, I'm very aware and very, very aware that I'm not walking into that $500,000 home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the way that we begin to shift that is by opening up a space of gratitude.
Okay.
And I think that then becomes the foundation for your manifestation. Because when you're, and there's nothing wrong with wanting stuff, there's tons of stuff I want all over the place. But what people aren't aware of is that energy follows thought and vice versa. So if you're looking out there and you're thinking, I want, I want, I want, I want, and everything that you're looking at is this energy that's going out, and it's landing on this thing, and you've created this connection with this thing, and all of a sudden you're still looking at the space where this hand over here is empty. You are not tracking the space of having fullness. You are tracking the space of having emptiness.
Right. I agree with that.
So, and why I say that gratitude is really important is you start with a foundation of gratitude, and then you, everything that you want, you sort of gaze on with an eye of appreciation. Because you're just noticing a vibration that's appealing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than feeling like you're sending your energy out to chase it down. And so you start with I appreciate what I have, whatever it is, even if it's not what I want. I'm still going to appreciate it, because in the appreciation, you build a foundation to have more. And what you slowly begin to build in yourself is the vibration of appreciation, and what you find yourself attracting through the natural space of just allowing things to be drawn to you is the things that you want to be attracting to your space. And when you're coming from that appreciative space, the appreciation just grows. It grows and grows and grows. It grows like a snowball.
Mm.
And before
that
long,
makes sense.
It sounds good, I think.
I just want to ask you about other times. So if you go to a time, say you've had a big trauma, and if you go into and you, what is it, two-point, or you go into the past time and you go to a time before that, can you erase, do you heal the remnants of that trauma, meaning some kind of programs that you established from that? What do you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I think a lot of the things that prevent us from healing are these sort of emotional charges to the experience that we had in that time. And what I noticed with time travel is it sort of goes back to that experience. And if it doesn't correct something in the physical, then it will almost always release some sort of mental or emotional attachment to it so that you can see the situation in a different light. And that's kind of what the whole creating your reality thing is all about, is what you see and what you put your attention on becomes your reality. So if all of a sudden you have this sort of clean space that's not being, I don't know, I guess...
Not full of hurt.
Claws coming into you from this experience, right? All of a sudden those claws are there and you move around again, sort of see, what else is there to notice?
I love that. Tell me this, and we're nearing the end. I want you to talk about where your workshop is this weekend and how people can probably do online classes with you as well, because there's a lot of people listening that are not close enough to go to your workshop, probably, at least this time. And one other thing is, do you think kids these days are coming in with a special message, or do you think we've got the new kids that we keep hearing about? What do you think?
I do, but you know, the way that I would have to term that would be that the whole consciousness and vibration of the planet is raising on a massive
level.
Right,
I agree. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we're expecting all this new growth to be coming in from somewhere, and we have to look for a source that is not yet identified with the problems of the planet. So where are we going to look to other than our children? And
excellent. I want all the children
special
to learn.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I want all the children to learn your stuff right now. I'm going, well, I think it's so empowering for them to be in truth with themselves and source energy so young.
And it's fun, too. And that's the part that's kind of hard to convey through just talking about it, is the activity and the games and the play and the spirit that comes through with it.
Well, I'm attending this weekend, so tell people where it is. I'm coming. I can hardly wait.
It will be at the Hilton Hotel in SeaTac, Seattle. And the class is from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is for families and working with the family unit in this energy. And Sunday is open to anybody who's curious about this work, about magic and play and learning from these amazing children to come in and to join us for the second day.
It sounds wonderful. And they can learn about it on justiceinsight.net,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes,
and you get all
correct.
The instructions. But I think I saw that at least your dad has online classes. Do you have online classes?
He doesn't have online classes, and I don't yet either. Yet.
Well, then we're not going to worry about that right now, but we're going to two-point it.
Yeah, absolutely. Never know what's going to happen next. We are all over the country all the time with Matrix Energetics seminars, and anybody who's curious can also check out the Matrix Energetics website.
No, it's wonderful. I have so much enjoyed this. I've learned a lot, but I'm also just, this energy is so wonderful, and I thank you for that gift for all of us.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you.
And I will be meeting you in person on the weekend, so thank you, Justice, for being on Paradigm Shifter.
Thanks, Monica.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, now that was very, very wonderful and empowering. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope all of you did, too. This is Veronica Entwistle saying that was our Paradigm Shifter, Justice Bartlett. Tune into justiceinsight.net and learn more about her programs. And she is her father's daughter, and her dad is the instigator, the teacher of Matrix Energetics. So look on that website, too, Matrix Energetics, I think it's .com, but you'll be able to find it. And let's see. Oh, yes, I forgot to say that we're now running on Glastonbury Radio. And thank you, Bob, over there in the UK, where they've got a www.glastonburyradio.net, I think. But anyway, it's in the UK. And here we are being run over there. So hi, everybody. And I hope you've enjoyed it. And if you'd like to give us feedback, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, a good old British name, .com, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. And also remember, I'm giving a workshop in Costa Rica the 25th of March to the 31st of March. You can tune in on that at VeronicaEntwistle.com or also at AmaTierra.com. AmaTierra is a wonderful healing retreat center run by the Ruttenbergs. So just check AmaTierra, means love of the land, AmaTierra.com. That's coming up real fast. I told you I'm a Gemini. I move fast, right? So if you want to have a retreat and move into your real self, join us for that wonderful time. I'm going to be on with Jackie Salvini on Thursday night on BBS Radio. Jackie and her team at 8 o'clock Thursday night are going to take you through more evolution. It's ET healing and explorations in consciousness. And, boy, we've been learning a lot on that one. And next week's Paradigm Shifters are Theo, and it's with Sheila and Marcus Gillette. And I have to say, if they can't make it, because we've had a little trouble scheduling together, there will be somebody equally as exciting. But I'm very much looking forward to hearing from them, who trained the people who do Esther and Jerry Hicks, who channel Abraham. So I know that we're going to all learn a lot about the directions that consciousness is taking these very many paradigm shifters. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, isn't it an exciting time to be alive? Let's all breathe in the excitement of changes and evolution together. Thank you so much, Justice Bartlett, and your dad, Richard, who's bringing us a tremendous gift. Much love, everyone. We'll talk to you Thursday night from Jackie's show. Good night.